Welcome to the podcast today. It is Friday, March 15th. Today's episode, today's guest is going to make for some good partner and companion content to what I shared yesterday. And I'll dip a little bit into that to explain to our guest what I was thinking. And you'll see why I wanted to have her here. And for quite some time, I've been a fan of her dad and her mom, her family, and what they have done for our community. I used to, on the old morning show, I didn't hesitate to say, we have a Buddhist temple here in Toledo. And I went several times before I got my head really screwed on straight. And I was in some desperation. And I was so delighted, as you'll hear me tell our guest, so delighted to hear we had a Buddhist temple here in Toledo. I was not averse to it whatsoever. I think you know I'm Jew-ish. So I was excited to dive into potentially meditation, mindfulness, and so much more that I could learn from it. Those two people had a wonderful offspring, and she is doing immaculate things here in Toledo. It's possible if you're out a bunch, you've already run into her or heard of her or heard of what she is the CEO of that could help you be in a better place or your place of business be in a better place. Let's talk to the CEO, although I'm going to try to change that title, Isabella Weick of the Toledo Mindfulness Institute. I would like to welcome the elusive Isabella Weick to the studio for a visit to talk TMI. Now, so nobody calls it TMI except for me, right?
I mean, a couple people. The people on the inside do call it
the
TMI.
Inside.
So, Eric, you're already on the inside.
I'm all about a good acronym. I like to speed things. So, Toledo Mindfulness Institute. You are the CEO, correct?
Correct.
All right. We'll build up to that. So, I'll just shorten it to TMI, which many have you said to someone. Now, you say Toledo Mindfulness Institute. You don't say TMI to someone you're introducing yourself to, right?
Correct. I mean, the name is a cool name, you know? So when I say it, it actually, people are like, oh, tell me more about it.
We won't do much on this, but I think it is important to create a little bit of context. And we'll talk about your parents because they're quite well known. And I would even call them pillars of our community.
Aw, I'll tell them you said that, Eric.
For real. Like, I've been a fanboy of your dad for a long time. Jay and Karen Weick. Buddhist Temple of Toledo, is that the name of it?
Correct.
Okay. So back in 2014, when I was I call that my pre Cymbalta era.
Interesting.
I was exploring all kinds of things to be better, and I was like, "There's a Buddhist temple in Toledo. Get the heck out of here! I don't have to drive to Ann Arbor, like a big city, for this."
Mm-hmm.
And I stumbled into your dad's place and met a lot of great people. I didn't stick with it, but only because of schedule reasons, but it was exactly the experience I was hoping for. So could you talk for a moment about that? And of course, people might know or might not know, it's moved since then.
Yeah, so my parents are the founders of the Buddhist Temple of Toledo. At the time, so we moved here when I was one, so 2001, and at the time there was no Buddhist temple. There's no Buddhist community here. And so my parents were really pioneers in the fact of creating what's called a sangha, or a community of people who practice together. And so I grew up, Eric, being able to see firsthand what it takes to build a community and to build a healthy community at that. I've got to see my parents thrive. And my dad is a Roshi, which is, it's like, it's very high level Zen master.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah. And you know, when you're a kid, you don't really understand how cool that is until I actually got out in the world. And I'm like, ah, all of these things that I learned from my upbringing are actually fully embodied in me, first off. And I actually get to express that out. And I get to see how, you know, some people are making decisions in a unmindful way and interacting with the world in an unmindful way.
So the Buddhist Temple of Toledo, it's now kind of in this area here in South Toledo, right?
It's by the University of Toledo, right off the University Trail.
Okay. Go, please check it out. But we're here today because Isabella's here to talk about the Toledo Mindfulness Institute. And you just mentioned making unmindful decisions. Can you talk about that and give us an example, please?
An example of a mindful decision?
Unmindful one.
An unmindful decision. An unmindful decision would be something that you are not taking into account, that you are causing harm to yourself or other people.
And that can be in a variety of ways.
Variety.
Financially, emotionally, psychologically, physically. What leads someone to making an unmindful decision?
Gosh.
Yeah, the hard-hitting questions here.
No, I love it. Let's go. I mean, I would say it really boils down to a lack of connection to oneself. We have a tendency to forget that we are actually all very interconnected, and that my health and well-being is a direct reflection of your health and your well-being. If I can show up as my full, actualized, authentic self in the community, and I'm firing on all cylinders, I'm helping the community to do the same freaking thing.
You are. And that's seriously, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to have you here to talk about this, because you are... We have crossed a lot of paths, but never been in the same room together.
Yeah, that's crazy to me. That's nuts.
I don't get out a whole lot. I do a lot of my socializing through my socials.
That's not true. You're always out here, Eric. I mean, seriously, I've heard your name for like ever.
Name. Yes, it's like I'm a myth or like a Bigfoot.
I think
like,
you're the elusive one.
I'll give you that. You talk about being actualized, and this is like I pick up what you're putting down. If not, I would not have wound up with your mom and dad at the temple 10 years ago now. It's always something that I've explored as I've been dealing with my mental health issues, which is bipolar too. Before I got on the right medication or I wanted to enhance what I was taking, I've always walked down the path or looked, investigated mindfulness. I have never been real good at it. I've read lots of books. I'm a failed meditator, but I didn't want to talk so much about me. Where I am now, and a lot of this just comes with age and experience and learning things, I am far more actualized now than I was at your age. Being actualized and being the best version of yourself can be a challenge. A lot of people have a challenge being a bad version of themselves. Hmm. So you got to be around your parents. How do you connect with other people who might be your age or even much older to help them so they can be the best version of themselves?
Yeah, so actually in the studio with us today, I have an amazingly talented student from Perrysburg High School shadowing me for her career day. She's 16 years old, and she chose of all people to hang out with me for her career day. And
CEO.
CEO. We've had the best day together. I think she's wonderful. She's amazing. And it's the biggest privilege to be able to connect with people and share out what I've learned. You know, I personally really value mentoring and mentorship. So everything that I say is a direct reflection of the mentors, the teachers, the people that I've been blessed to be around. And then to that point about actualizing it, it's about taking up all the nutrients from the stuff that we've been through. We all have a story, right? Mm-hmm. And that's a really important, if you take one thing away from what I'm saying, it's like everyone has a story. They have something, you know, you can't really judge a person based on, you know, first interaction. And so being able to use mindfulness to actually go through and pull up the nutrients from what we've been through and then be able to do some goodness with it out in the world. At least to me, that's what self-actualization, actualizing good for others, is a main pillar of Buddhism. And that informs what I do in Toledo Mindfulness Institute. I want to say that the Mindfulness Institute, though it's deeply connected with the Buddhist Temple of Toledo, the mindfulness practice comes from Buddhism. It is a secular thing. So yeah. Anyone can connect with mindfulness.
Who, aside from your mom and dad, which you had the good fortune of being around, I always feel grateful and thankful that I had the parents that I did. I wish other people could have our parental experiences, especially these days. You are what you are around in many ways, nature versus nurture. It's a lot of nature these days, and we see a lot of people who have great potential, but maybe they get derailed by who they're around all the time. Who were some of your other mentors besides mom and dad?
Gosh, I mean, I've been very blessed to have a lot. I'm a proud alumni of the University of Toledo, Go Rockets. And during that time, I was involved in a lot of student leadership stuff. So I actually got to be in the room, Eric, with like vice presidents of the University of Toledo. My senior year, I worked for the Office of Diversity at the University of Toledo. And there I was working, I was the one student intern there. And they pulled me in because of my expertise in religious diversity. Through the Buddhist Temple of Toledo, I've always been around different faiths, right? And learning other people's stories and how to connect. And so that expertise led me to work at the Office of Diversity. And there, I had the privilege of learning from like the president of the University of Toledo, the vice president of diversity, who I directly reported to. Her name's Malaika Bell. She's an incredible woman. And so I've learned so much from her, from Dr. Willie McKether, who was the VP at the time, Dr. Postal, Sammy Spang. I mean, there's so many names I could say. But the one thing I could boil down to now is the importance of being able to be fully immersed in what you're passionate about. Like with all of my mentors, they have the ability to go in and go deep into what they love. And so that's something that I've learned that skill, and now I'm pulling that out and I'm using that for myself, and it's paying off. Being a geek is paying off completely.
It's been cool to be a geek for like 2 decades now. That's why I embrace it. That's the problem with, I like to think, and I think this is pretty accurate, most people wind up in therapy not because they're necessarily like unhappy. They have good families. They their jobs are fine. And it's kind of like the rat race of society. But so many people wind up in therapy because they feel like they don't have a passion, or even more so, like they feel like they don't have a purpose. And I always tell people, chase purpose, because purpose can always be there. Happiness is going to come and go. Is there a way that you suggest to people to find a passion or a purpose? Because you could save a lot of people a lot of money in therapy if you have a path to that.
Well, I love therapy. I go to the Karuna House and it's amazing. Having a therapist is wonderful. If you are thinking about going to therapy, I highly suggest it. Having that on your health team is really important. It's been very important to me. So I want to say that first. But to go back to the whole, like, going back to your own story, that has been the most healing thing for me. I mean, everything that I'm doing now is in some way, honestly, touching on a point in my life, in my childhood, where I didn't have that. So my community involvement, I love giving back to Toledo and learning about Toledo and being an apprentice of the city itself.
How did you find that within yourself? Because that's the purpose that you want.
Yeah.
You would do everything that you do, mostly, I think, for free. Because as people might be able to tell what you just said, you love here. You would, if you had 6 more hours in the day, you would probably give it to Toledo. Maybe stick a nap in, but more Toledo time.
Oh, absolutely. The Isabella power nap is a must. That is a must. Actually, that's my secret to success right there.
Naps?
Power nap. Oh, yeah.
You're not 100%. Wrong. You're not wrong.
100%.
How did you find that within yourself? So many people are looking for that, like the whole, why am I here?
Yeah, well, I mean, I had to go back to my story. So when I was a kid, I had a really serious autoimmune disorder where, Eric, I was in a wheelchair. I was sedentary for most of my childhood. Like, I had to be homeschooled up until 6th grade when I started Toledo School for the Arts. But prior to that, I was not living the normal kid life at all. This autoimmune disorder, it took away my energy, my flexibility, everything that a kid just kind of naturally has. And so I went through a period of real aloneness, of loneliness. And so it's not a, I won't say it's an easy road, but going back to those moments of saying, like, what's important to me? So community is very important to me. Like, it is the biggest blessing in the world. I want to say thank you to every single person out in the community who, like, says hi to me at the coffee shop. Like, you have no idea how much that means to me. Because when I was a kid, I was praying for friendship. I was praying for a sense of belonging and community.
So because you were so alone, which is why you envelop yourself with so many people now. Am I getting that right?
Yeah, okay, absolutely.
Cool. Before we talk TMI, Toledo Mindfulness Institute, we talked about the Buddhist temple. I have a question, and I want to see how you explain it. Is Buddhism a religion?
This is a great question. And I've talked to my dad about this thoroughly. And the answer is that if you're looking at religion in a theistic way, meaning that religion equals there has to be some type of deity, some type of God, Buddhism does not fall into that. But if you take that aspect of it away, this is a thousands of years old tradition with history, with chanting, with literature, with community. So all of those other pillars are very much there. And so in my opinion, in my family's opinion, we are definitely a world religion. This is something that people devote their lives to. We have monks, we have people that are priests out in the world. Like, this is their full-time thing to actualize good for others. So, and I want to say that we have people in the community who are Christian Buddhists, who are Jewish Buddhist. Like, you can have both of those things.
That's why I would push back on that it is a religion, because the what you just described about priests out there, monks doing good for the world, that's what you do. Like, you look, this is where we play around with the definition of religion. But look, there are people who are religious sports fans. Like, their Lions are their religion. But I come back. I like what you said about the deity. Like, unless you got that one center point, a Jesus type figure or whatnot. Because I could not be a Jew and a Christian. I could be a Jew and a Buddhist, which I guess in a lot of ways I am, because of the spiritual mindset that I embrace more than anything. Mm-hmm. So I guess I would say, at least how I look at it is, no, it's not, but it's definitely a path in life and a spirituality and a sense of belonging that you can be a part of.
I will push back on that in a second, just a little bit, because if you take Buddhism and you say that it's okay, it's not a religion, then in spaces such as the corporate space, okay? So someone is a practicing Buddhist, but your Buddhism is not considered a religion, then your practice is not protected by all of the laws and all of the things that are set in place to protect people's religious freedom.
So Buddhism is a protected religion within spaces like that, right?
Correct. Okay. Because it is the label of religion.
Okay.
And so in my opinion, I think that that's really important to put it in the arena of religions, because
sure,
we have holy days. We have days. But if I were to say, oh, it's, you know, it's just a way of life, and it is a way of life. That's the thing.
Yeah.
But religion is not separate from your way of life. You know, a fully embodied life can, it has all the ingredients of your life in it. So that is what I would say back to that, Eric.
Great to hear it explained. And makes for great discussion. What is the Toledo Mindfulness Institute? How do you wind up as the CEO? The distinguished CEO.
The distinguished. Thanks. I'm going to need you to write that down for me. I'll look back on that in the hard days.
Would you like what I've asked for on my business cards? Galactic Emperor.
Whoa. You really have that on your business card?
No, but I've asked. You got to ask. One of my tenants. You got to ask. Nobody's just going to offer it to you.
That's
make the ask.
Hilarious.
Galactic Empress of the Toledo Mindfulness Institute.
Oh my gosh.
Consider it.
No.
Okay,
you're
okay.
Hilarious.
Okay. So CEO, and I will ask you one really stressful question at one point as we dive into the Mindfulness Institute here.
Okay.
What was your path leading to that?
So, yeah, the Toledo Mindfulness Institute was founded 10 years ago by my dad. And what happened is that someone reached out to the Buddhist temple and was like, hey, we want mindfulness programming for our company, but we don't want it to be the religious part of it. We just want the secular mindfulness. And that is very much a study, a field of an expertise. And so my dad created the Institute as a way for people who are looking for that type of connection to get that training, to get that tool that is incredibly powerful. If you know how to concentrate, if you know how to focus in, if you know how to be present in a conversation, anyone in any field can benefit from that.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly think that's why, I mean, I'm 23 years old. Like, I'm in spaces that, like, I pinch myself, you know, and I think a lot of that has to do with my mindfulness training.
For sure.
And my ability to really be in on the conversation, full immersion, back to that thing I learned from my mentors.
Unless people were listening to the math of when you were born, I'm sure some people were just taken slightly aback by hearing your age with how distinguished and how well spoken and how bright you are. But again, we are all products of where we are.
Thank you.
You and I, like, I like to tell people that, like, they're genetically, or like they won the DNA lottery. We won the parent lottery.
Yeah.
And there are some people who will say, damn Nepo babies. But you know what? I push back on that and go, you know what? There are people like that, but there's people like you and me, you weigh more than me, are giving that back. We've been given something, and there's an old line. I used it in my TED talk. The purpose of life is to find your gift. No, the meaning of life is to find your gift. The purpose of life is to give that gift
away.
Yeah. And you're giving it away. You're helping people and helping people's minds with the Mindfulness Institute. You've taken what your parents started and they're now often galactic empressing with it.
I love that point too, because for anyone who's listening, and you know, sometimes we can get into a shame spiral about, oh well, you know, use your gifts. Use your story and use your gifts. Do not get in your own way. I mean, this is huge for me, because for so long I wasn't connecting with my story. I wasn't connecting all of the dots. And now that I am, and I stopped getting in my own way about my own uniqueness, there are not many people in the world, Eric, that have two Buddhist Zen masters as parents. Like, I'm now, but now that I'm owning that part of it, to your point, I can really share that out and I can make a difference.
You became CEO not that long ago. Is that right?
At this point, I think it was 4.5 months ago.
Okay. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're still in the honeymoon period. what do you have to do as a big CEO? Is an email avalanche now?
Oh my gosh. It's been a lot.
Let me ask you this question. I know you're going to answer it honestly. Why did your dad feel that you were right for this position?
I love that question. You know, what happened was that I've been so immersed in this my whole life, Eric. I mean, it's like in my DNA at this point. It's truly in my blood. And so for the last 5 years, I've been doing consulting gigs. So I was a TMI consultant. So I was out when I was at UT and stuff. I was leading de-stress events. I was leading mindfulness trainings for my sorority. I was out here already doing the thing anyway, because I love to do it. I know it's helpful and it's useful and it could change someone's life. So I was already doing it. And then what happened was that actually a dear friend of mine gave me the biggest blessing ever. She gave me 2 free tickets to the Forbes 30 Under 30 Summit. Okay. And this is, and what's crazy is that this conference is happening in Ohio for the next 2 years. Like, all the dots are connecting at this point, right? So I go to this conference and I have Isabella Wyke, Toledo Mindfulness Institute, on the thing and on my little like nameplate thing. And I realized as I was talking to these young CEOs, first off, if you want to level up your life, go to places where people are thinking bigger, brighter, more innovative, more everything than you, and you will absorb it. I'm telling you right now.
I like to say, if you're the smartest one in the room, one of two things. You're either wrong or go find another room so you can be a sponge.
Yes, a sponge. That's a superpower right there, y'all. Be a sponge. But anyway, so I was at this conference and I was connecting with people and the guys were like, yo, I got a tech company in California that could really use your services. And I just realized how much this could impact. This could be a huge thing. I mean, the Institute's already been a thing. We have a great reputation. We have wonderful faculty members. And I don't know, Eric, I drove home and the whole trip, I was just sitting there and I was like, oh my gosh, we could do this. We could do that. It was just flowing out of me. I have a voice memo of like me just like spewing out like all my different dreams and stuff for the Institute. So I got home, I went up to my dad and I said, Dad, this is great. What you've built is extraordinary. And I think that I'm ready. I'm ready actually now, because this has always kind of been a conversation or at least a thought in my head. I'm fourth generation entrepreneur. So I love it. I've seen what beauty it can bring to people, like helping people, you know, with their livelihood and everything. That's like, oh my gosh, talk about a blessing in the world, right? So I've had 4 generations of family members show me the importance of that. But it was time. I don't know how to explain it, Eric, but like I got home, I had something in my eyes, I had a fire in my belly, and I was like, these are my plans for it. What do you think? Majority ownership, CEO. And he was like, he just looked at me and he was like, yeah.
Was he the CEO at the time?
Correct.
So it was a daughterly hostile takeover?
Oh, completely. But in the sweet, loving way that I do.
A manipulation. We call that manipulation. And stay away from tech bros. I'm not your dad. Stay away from tech bros. What does the Mindfulness Institute offer? Because I think the sales pitch has been pretty good. Now, how can you help people?
Gosh, yeah. So we do both business to business and then business to consumer. So for my business peeps out there, that was the little lingo there. But so you got business to business, meaning that one of our faculty members will actually go to organizations and lead mindfulness trainings for your business. So you gather all your employees together, we sit down, we go, okay, like what is mindfulness? Pen to paper, like what does this look like in your day-to-day life? Where does it come from? How can we use it in our day-to-day lives? So there's that aspect, business to business. And then there's more like the business to community, which I've been having a lot of fun exploring that and kind of dreaming about what that looks like. Because with the mindfulness, I also bring my expertise of body practice. So I'm a certified personal trainer. I'm also a yoga instructor. And so I've been having a lot of fun bringing those practices into the mindfulness. So a really fun thing I've been doing is hosting yoga classes and community events where, you know, the average person that just wants to experience mindfulness and experience just like a one-off kind of joyous event with community. Like, I know that I have won if someone comes to an event and they feel more connected to themselves and more connected to the community.
What would you tell someone who is, they're hearing that mindfulness works, they see apps, maybe they've tried it, maybe they've read a book, they have the thought in their head that, you know, other things haven't worked for me. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go to a therapist, I don't want to do medication, but I know that this could help me out, but I'm hesitant. What's something you say to that person to welcome them in?
I think it's really important, one, to acknowledge the fact that, like, it's really good that you're listening to yourself. Like, it's really mm-hmm. good, actually, just straight off to be like, I'm not going to go this path just because I've been told that's the path. And with that, I want to go back to, I love therapists. So mindfulness is not like a thing you do instead of therapy. Mindfulness complements every aspect of your life. So for me personally, I think I've been able to go deeper and have a more rich experience in therapy because of my mindfulness training. That just shows up. Mm-hmm. So for someone who's like thinking about it, I would say, come to an event, experience it. You know, you can, when you're belly to belly with someone who takes this work seriously, you can actually feel it. And I've had the privilege of being around kooky Zen masters my whole life. So like I've felt what that's like. And so I would suggest if you're curious about it, you come to an event, you check us out on social media, and if it's for you, wonderful. And if it's not, also wonderful. It's just a tool in the toolbox.
If it's not, you ruled one thing out. You made an attempt and you exactly. saw something that doesn't work. Sometimes when people, and there's a lot of people right now, I happen to know a lot, they're looking for jobs. Hmm. And to go back to, I don't know what I want to do with my life. Well, do the opposite. Rule out what you won't do, and then maybe that will narrow you into a path of what you can figure out what you might enjoy doing. And you'll dip your toe in the water and realize, oh, I actually like this. I'm glad I tried it. Like, mm-hmm. I'm sure you've had many people like that who have gone to the Buddhist temple and to the Mindfulness Institute.
Yeah.
Maybe like half believers, and now they are your evangelizing peasants you send out into
oh
the world.
Oh my gosh, Eric, take that back. That's horrible.
Not evangelizing peasants.
That's
no, but
horrible.
You know what I mean? They were half into it, but now they're like, they're part of the lifestyle. They love what you do. They are your disciples.
Hmm. Yeah,
got them, trust me.
Oh my gosh.
It's okay, brag. It's okay, you have them.
You can feel how awkward I'm feeling, right? I don't know how to respond to that.
What? Well, I'll ask you a real tough question.
Sure.
Why isn't your mom more featured on the website? It's you and your dad.
That's hilarious. For the Institute?
Yeah.
So she is very much part of it. I mean, like the business meetings that we're having and stuff, like she's the belly of it, y'all. Like I'm going to her for all of my more like intuitive advice too. Like, okay, like I'm in this business meeting and I'm feeling this. She's my like North Star. And the answer is that we actually just did a photo shoot, the three of us.
Add her on there. Let's go.
Yeah, I agree. And she'll appreciate that you brought that up, Eric. Thank you.
I noticed the little things like that. What is the website?
The website is Toledo Mindfulness Institute.
Easy. The socials that you encourage people to follow?
Instagram is the Toledo Mindfulness Institute. And then Facebook, just type in Toledo Mindfulness Institute and you will find us.
Another Buddhist question. When I was doing my early reading, there's one thing that I learned, and it was counter to what I'm going to throw back at you here. The mission of the Institute, the mission is to improve the human condition by fostering the authentic practice of mindfulness for the alleviation of suffering. I could be wrong. This is your ballpark, but didn't the Buddha or the guy sitting under the tree, who I think is the Buddha, say that suffering is a part of life and you have to embrace it or something to that effect?
Yeah. I mean, to fully experience something, you have to go deep with it. You have to know what suffering is in order to really be a mentor or someone or really be able to, you can kind of feel it when someone's talking about a topic and they actually haven't done the deep work of going in and deep and feel it. So with Buddhism, it's about taking on the suffering of the world. We are not up in the clouds, some blissed out, whatever. We are fully in contact with the suffering of ourselves and the suffering of the world. And it's only from that place, Eric, that you then can be like, okay, I feel this suffering in myself. And then you begin to soften. It develops compassion, equanimity, wisdom.
What's equanimity? I know what it is. Please explain what equanimity is.
I would say equanimity is it's the ability to have a baseline root of groundedness.
Like a peacefulness.
Yeah, and well, it's not peaceful all the time because, you know, sometimes things ruffle the feathers. My feathers get ruffled sometimes. But it's a groundedness. It's like a rock solidness in yourself.
Where you kind of bring yourself back to when maybe you're a little too joyous, a little manic, or more likely, a little too down. Like you're centering yourself back in that spot.
Yeah, correct. And that's exactly what we teach with mindfulness practice. It's the ability to actually work the muscle of coming back to yourself, come back to that groundedness, come back to your own innate equanimity. We're all born with this. This is our birthright to be fully connected to ourselves. I can go on and on about this, but this
please
is,
do.
Well, I mean, I'll just, it is so important to feel connected to yourself. And so many people don't.
Mm-hmm.
And
why don't they?
Know,
external factors. So give me from your perspective, what you do, who is in your circle, why do you see people disconnected from themselves most so? And I'll say you can't say phones.
No,
pick another reason.
I won't. I mean, it's really, to go back to like feeling the suffering of everything, it's really challenging. It's really challenging to bump up against your edges. It's very hard.
You mean like leave your comfort zone?
Leave your comfort zone, but more, this is more internal, Eric. This is more like seeing the parts of yourself that bring out a lot of shame, your grief, your loneliness, like all of these things that we all experience. Many of us, we don't have the tools to be able to actually meet that and become friends with that aspect of ourselves. This is a big thing. It's the practice of becoming friends with all of those parts of ourselves. You know, that's it. But it's very tough. And so many of us, it's natural. It's painful, so we avoid it. It's painful, so we avoid it. We chase pleasure, avoid pain. Like, we're designed to do that. Our brain has been telling us to do that since we became human beings.
Yeah.
And so mindfulness is, there's it's called the fourth option, okay? So we all know this. So you got your fight, you got your flight, you got your freeze, and then you got your presence. This is the fourth one. And this is the one that takes, it's inherent to us all, and it takes a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those things are true. It's inherent in all of us, and it takes a lot of work.
I'll share something with you that I just ripped off on the podcast yesterday. I went down a rabbit hole and wound up on the word anhedonia. Do you know what that is?
I do not.
It is an inability to feel joy and pleasure.
Mm.
And I'm familiar with that word. It's come my way before, and it's a good description of my challenges because I've erased all the demons in my life. But I like to say that I've kind of hardwired myself. While I've kept the bad out, I think I've also kept some of the good out as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading something called Positive Affect Treatment, PAT. And I guess it's extremely new. It's not an actual thing. It's some theories. But reading a summary of, I don't read educational papers. They're too much for me. But this guy summarized it real well. When you go to therapy, it's about untwisting your negative thoughts. It's about not beating yourself up for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Because we go in with all those automatic negative thoughts. My life sucks. I'm not good at anything. And then the therapist says, no, look at all these good things. So the idea of this was, where I found it could potentially help me is, look at the good things, which I know I have. And for instance, think back to a time where you enjoyed something. And here's the mindfulness part of it. Literally close your eyes and transport yourself back to that time. Visualize it, smell it, feel it, everything. And I look at it as kind of re-strengthening a dormant muscle.
Mm.
And
I love that.
I was utterly fascinated by it because I never thought of therapy is always evolving. In 60 years, we're going to be like, why did we know this back then?
Mm.
But again, most people go because they want the negative out of their life. I want the positive put back in my life because again, these neurons are dormant and I never thought about accentuating the positive. And it's beyond Stuart Smalley stuff. Isabel, you're good enough. You're smart enough. You're just gonna do great. Or I am great. It's sinking yourself. It's mindfully sinking yourself into those moments you know you've experienced to rebirth what is again lying dormant.
Yeah, actually, I first encountered that practice through Tony Robbins, actually. So I did one of his like virtual Unleash the Power Within or whatever courses, and that is a powerful practice. I love what you said about building the muscle. It's building the muscle of gratitude, which is
that's
huge.
Included.
It's huge. Because if you can bring yourself, your mind, your heart, your body, everything back to those moments of joy, and you fully allow yourself, again, I'm going to use that word immersion, I guess I love that word, fully immerse yourself in that. Absolutely. That is a gift that you can give yourself every single day.
Gratitude was on the list. And that's one of the things that I often share because the world is so busy, we overlook it. Mm-hmm. And my suggestion, this usually goes over with kids, but everybody really, and it's not stop and smell the roses stuff. It's like, I want you to pick out three things, and you don't have to tell me whatever they are. Pick out three things that you're grateful for. There's one rule. You cannot be responsible for any of it. Tangentially speaking, like I often go back to my dogs. My dogs are older now, but mm-hmm. I am grateful every day that they have aged in healthy, energetic, always picking food up off the floor ways. And did I help keep them healthy? Yeah, but for the most part, like it's out of my hands. There's no wild cancers or anything. They've lived long, great lives. I am grateful for that. I did something really stupid over the weekend and my dad consoled me on it, doing typical dad stuff. And I was grateful that he offered me that perspective to make sure I didn't get too low. So my rule is, what are you grateful for? But you have to have little to nothing to do with it. Is that good?
I think that's beautiful. Okay. I mean, really, right on. Right on, Eric.
what are some like three life tenets that, what is your equanimity? Those phrases, those mindsets, those sayings, those maxims, the Isabella-isms that you pull yourself back to when you, like everybody, you might seem like your own deity to many people listening right now. And I think you're pretty darn close. Everything is relative. What do you do to pull yourself back to that equanimity?
Yeah, I'm like blushing over here. You can't see it, but I'm blushing over here. You know, I had the privilege of going back to my alma mater, Toledo School for the Arts. I went to the Business of the Arts class.
Sorry. So you have had contact with a god, Dave Gerke.
Oh, my God. All right, Dave.
He doesn't listen to this. He says that my most listened to podcast is when he was on it. Other than that, no one listens.
That's hilarious.
He did message me today. I should have told him you were coming by.
Aww.
TSA is a great place. I'm always happy to help them out. And I was even more excited to hear that you were a TSA kid.
Oh, absolutely. I love TSA. Yeah. So like last week I got to, or this last week, I got to go to that class and I got to talk to them about the power of genuine connections and networking. And then kind of naturally, like mindfulness came into this. I was just awarded runner up. So second place. It's amazing though. Runner up.
She didn't win something. Oh my God.
Eric, be quiet. Be quiet. Runner up, up and coming professional for the Toledo City Paper. And so on. Because of that, my friend who teaches the class, he had me come in and talk about, I mean, truly, I'm like, what? I'm like, really? I mean, I was shocked. I should have taken a video when I learned because I was like freaking out. I was with my grandparents, actually. Anyway, this is a long way to go back to. I was talking about networking and I use this phrase as kind of a North Star, very much so in the community. I love Toledo and I love the community. I'm so grateful for everything, every door, every person who said my name in spaces that I can't be in yet because of whatever, I thank you. Like, thank you, Toledo. Like, I love y'all a lot. A relationship is a place to give, not get. And I live by that. There is so much power in being able to generously, compassionately give what you have to offer with no expectation mm-hmm. of what you're going to get back.
That's one of the things. And I think by me sharing these backbones of my life, you can see why mindfulness and what your dad was doing drew me.
Yeah.
One of the things that I learned early on in my journey was to combat what I was dealing with was When we're feeling down, that the human instinct is, I got to do something for myself to get that quick buzz, that dopamine. Let me go check out something in my Amazon cart. And a lot of times those things work, but they are very quick. I have found for myself, and I think this is also part of being a human, to what you described, do something for somebody else. Because the power and feeling you'll get from that is more likely to help you rebound than your Amazon purchase. Not all the time. Not all the time. But I know it's helped me quite often. And it's so inverse of what you would think. I feel crappy. I need to do something for me. Buy something, eat something. But if you do the opposite, go do something for somebody else, that feeling very well could pick you up of where you want to be away from.
Absolutely. I mean, we're here. That was fabulous, Eric. That was it.
Yeah, there you go.
Cheers. Cheers to that.
Who's the person that beat you in the City Toledo paper, professional?
I can't remember their name, but they're wonderful. They also won Up and Coming Entrepreneur, which I thought was really cool. I'm very excited to meet them at the award show next week.
Call them next year's runner-up.
Oh, Eric.
We will rename that award at some... Well, you'll age out of it at some point. But like my friend Janet Amid, she has won that award like Dr. Frankel has won the dental award forever. And I just want them to rename it after them. So at some point, once you have taken over everything as you'd like to in a good way, when you're like 27, they can rename that the Isabella Wyke Young Professional City of Toledo Paper Award.
I'm still blushing again over here, guys.
thank you for visiting. Final thoughts, maybe anything we didn't cover about the Mindfulness Institute and all that it offers or anything else?
Well, I want to say thank you to my city. I mean, this is crazy. I mean, this has been the best journey ever, and I couldn't do this without Toledo and like our sense of community here. So I just want to say thank you. And thank you, Eric, for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
Which Mexican place do you think?
Oh, a Mexican place? Mm-hmm. Ooh. You know, my friends and I, back from my UT days, we always go to El Vac, right there by UT on Secord. Okay. But there's that new place, DeSeco. Is that how you pronounce it? It's in Cricket West. They got some good Mexican.
That took over for the Cocina de Carlos place. Okay, so I got to walk. So it's Cocina de Carlos, the Perrysburg spot, the Waterville spot. Poco Loco was his, but I think he pulled out of that. But when Poco Loco was booming, he opened Que Paso, a fast casual version of it, in Cricket West. It was kind of as we were getting out of COVID, and he pulled out, but another Mexican spot went in there. I think that's the one you're talking about. I haven't heard anybody mention it, so thank you.
Oh, it's bomb. You should go.
What coffee place do you thank the most?
I love Earth Coffee Shop in Toll House, and I love Sip.
What's your I don't have anything off the top of my head to ask, but what's your favorite Metro Park, or which one are you at most? You can't say Glass City Metro Park. You practically have an office there.
I love it there.
I know. That's Pick another spot. One.
That's my spot. I love downtown.
Pick another one.
Oak Openings. I grew up in Swantucky, and Oak Openings was my backyard. I have a lot of love for that space.
Where, non-food, where do you spend too much money at? Where does your debit card need a break from?
Oh my gosh. Well, it's the coffee shops, because...
No, that's also food.
I know that's...
Food, drink.
Okay.
Anything, food and drink are out. Where do you bang your debit card at?
I'm obsessed with clothing and street style and fashion. So it's definitely at the mall, or to your point, going back to Amazon. I do find a lot of joy sometimes online shopping. So there's that too.
I mean, lastly, when you tell people stuff like that, the mall and Amazon... Being who you are, what you are, and what you stand for, does anybody ever give you a hard time for that, thinking that like you should be shopping in jute mode and handmade all the time and buying local 1,000% of the time?
No, I mean, I love being a cheerleader for those spaces.
Right.
And I do. I'm in those spaces all the time.
No, nobody's 100% anything, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Amazon makes for easy returns.
It does.
Okay. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Eric.